Welcome to the Power of Love show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Power of Love show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation. My name is TJ Jackson, and with me is my eldest brother, Taj Jackson. What is going on, Taj? How you doing, man?
Doing well.
Good. Today's date is September 13th, 2023. We are, of course, live on YouTube and Facebook right now. So we want to thank anyone who is watching live. We want to thank you for joining us and being part of our show. We also, once the show has premiered on Facebook and YouTube, we also turn each and every show into a podcast. So if you are one of those who prefer listening to content on your way to work, while you're walking, hopefully not when you're working, but whenever you're doing anything and you like podcasts, just know that we also are a podcast. So you can also catch us and consume our content there. Now, we are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who've experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we feel we have learned from it. So what we like to do here is we like to share our opinions in an attempt to help you get through whatever it is you may be going through. Saying that, though, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Please, please, please do not just rely on us. So, Taj, I believe, I'm pretty certain on that, on this, that this is show 295. Which is an amazing accomplishment. We are only five shows away from number 300. It's a lot of shows. A lot of growth. And if you can't tell, especially those who are listening, if you see my face right now, I'm very proud of this. This is something that we've been doing for several years now, and we've helped a lot of people and even us. I feel like I've grown and learned so much by doing these shows. So I want to thank everyone out there for supporting it, all of our previous guests, and even today's guest. Want to thank you all for being part of this amazing movement that we've been doing here at the Dede Jackson Foundation. Taj, as we like to do, we like to start our shows off with a small recap of what we've been up to, what we have learned, what we went through last week, the highlights, whatever you want to talk about. Taj, tell me something about the last 7 days of your life.
Honestly, last 7 days, I don't even remember what they like. I'm deep in parenting right now, and it's just, it's all a mesh in that way. So
yeah,
I know I'm missing something very major. I guess Brazilian tradition is the first year every month you celebrate the birthday.
Yeah.
And so we did that yesterday, even though Tylee was born on the 17th, but because of Thaisa's son, Oliver, we kind of merged their birthdays. And so we do. So that was probably the highlight, if I can remember correctly, because it was only yesterday. So that's only a day of remembering, but yeah, every other day, like if you go 36 hours past, I'm like, I can't even remember.
Yeah, man, I get it. First of all, enjoy these days; they fly by. I know for everyone who knows, I'm Taj's younger brother, but I'm the one who got started with the kids first, and actually finished before he even started. So now it's fun watching my eldest brother go through the thick and beautiful, the hard and the beautiful times of parenting. It's pretty cool to see. As for me, I'll keep it short, but for the very first time, unless Taj knows of a time when I was so young, I don't even remember, but I went to Mammoth for the very first time. And I was blown away by the beauty of Mammoth in California. I've always heard how beautiful it is. And I went and really enjoyed it. It was a special place. Our world is an amazing place with amazing, the natural mountains and plantation. All of that's a really beautiful thing to see. And it's actually a very humbling experience if you can get out there and just be lost in it. So for anyone, I took some pictures. We actually went for a wedding and it was up on the top of a mountain. It was absolutely beautiful. So we took some pictures. We took a lot of video. That's my thing now. But what I want to say is one thing I've learned from 295 shows of the Power of Love show is the power of nature. And there are beautiful places all over the world. But if you're going through a difficult time, hardship, anything, don't be afraid to lean into some of those natural, beautiful spots. I really feel it's a healing thing, and it's something that's very inexpensive to do. You're just paying for gas. Maybe sometimes if you want to stay, you could pay for a hotel or an Airbnb, but really just connect with nature, and you'll feel some growth, warmth, and enlightenment, and just strength by doing that. So
yeah,
that's my tidbit for the day. Todd, you know what? I don't think there's much else, at least on my end, to share. We have an awesome guest
that's
in the wings waiting to be brought in. But unless you tell me there's something else we may be missing, I'm going to just jump right in.
Not that I know of. I mean, just, I think we should have a countdown, which we have, you know, for five episodes till 300. That's pretty big, as we were just talking about it. But because I'll probably forget next week.
Yeah.
Well, as long as someone keeps reminding us, you know, of it. But yeah, it's pretty big. Yeah.
It's a huge thing. It's an awesome thing. All right. I think, Taj, we are ready for our guest, right? Mm-hmm. So on today's episode of Power of Love Show, ladies and gentlemen, we welcome a special guest. Her name is Rukmini Poder. I hope I'm saying the last name right. I'm confident in the first name, Rukmini, but she will correct me if I'm wrong.
Is it Poder,
anyways,
Poder or Poder?
Taj, why you got to make me look like now I feel you're right. But anyways, emotions add color and depth to our lives and create meaning. Taking the time to sift through our personal emotions can teach us about ourselves and help us process big feelings when they arise. Artist, designer, and educator Rukmini Poder understands this well, and through her artwork, she began to realize that what is most personal is most universal. And now readers can dig deep into their own emotions in a creative way with Rukmini's book called Draw Your Feelings. It's a mind-opening and beautifully illustrated guide filled with watercolor art and meticulous detail. It is both a beautiful and practical tool for a journey of self-discovery. From a work as an artist depicting a wide range of emotions, Rukmini has amassed a following of others seeking the same journey. Her growing platform has touched the lives of nearly 100,000 followers, all seeking her online content and also the courses she teaches on drawing emotions, which, of course, are extremely successful. Rukmini's creative passion lies at the intersection of emotional wellness and creative storytelling, which this journal embodies. It gently encourages readers to reflect on themselves and the world around them through lines, shapes, colors, and more. With exercises tailored to beginners and experts alike, no drawing skills required, readers will learn basic drawing skills and take them all the way to mapping their emotional landscape and empower them to give visual language to their feelings that were otherwise indescribable with words. Draw Your Feelings will stretch creative muscles you didn't know you had. At the end of the journey, you will transform the way you interact with yourself and the world. Rukmini is an artist, designer, illustrator, and educator. She is also a 100-day project artist and author of the book 100 Days of Obscure Emotions. Mm-hmm. Here today, ladies and gentlemen, to discuss her work and forthcoming book, Draw Your Feelings. It's available for pre-order right now. Not available for sale just yet, but you can pre-order it. Without much further ado, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Rukmini Poder. Please correct me. Rukmini.
Hey, how do we guys. Do? Oh, you did fantastic. It's Poder.
Rukmini.
Feel the energy.
Rukmini Poder. Okay.
Yeah, Poder.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Poder. So good to see you. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, of course. And thank you for having me and for that beautiful introduction.
Yeah.
Very honored to be here.
Yeah. You know what I loved? I mean, there's a lot that I loved in that intro that and I'll lean into some of it. But first, I have to ask you, how did your life's work and personal experiences lead to the inspiration for this forthcoming book you have, Draw Your Feelings? I love the title. Love what it is. It's an interactive guidebook to help all of us untangle, process, and accept all of our feelings. So tell us where this came from.
Oh, thank you. Well, it came from, like all things, the personal experience. And, you know, I was hearing what you're saying, that this is almost your 300th episode, which is amazing. What an accomplishment. And, you know, consistency is really hard, and but consistency is what builds anything. And I am someone, I wouldn't consider myself a consistent person. Maybe now I've grown a little bit, but it was not what I would ever think of myself. I struggle with that, even just doing a 10-day project, 20-day project. But in 2015, I did a 100-day project, and it changed my life.
Because I saw this, and this was one of the things. So 100-day project, how did that come up, and what does that mean, 100-day project?
Yes. So this is a global art project that happens all over the world. You can go on right now, Google 100-day project. There's a website for it. It's super simple. You choose something you want to do for 100 days and you do it, and you post it on your social media. You get your little accountability by making your work visible. It can be 100 days of drawing, of writing poetry, songwriting, cooking, going out for walks, anything. The idea is to strive for doing, process over perfection. You know, we stop ourselves from taking the first step because we want it to be perfect. Yeah. Now, what if I just did 100 messy sticky note drawings, you know, like how simple can I make it so that I can keep doing it every day? And this is what I really struggled with. And when I did my first 100-day project, I was just finishing school. I went to school as a designer. I was a little bit burnt out of just staring at the computer all the time. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do 100 doodles. I'm just going to get some pencils, color pencils, pastels, and just make something. And I thought maybe I would last 10 days. And somehow I kept going. And I mean, this is one benefit of social media, which can be quite difficult and detrimental in some ways, and actually really helpful when you use it as a tool for accountability. So I just posted it to my like little crew of a few hundred people that followed me at the time. And I kept going for some reason. And it really evolved. By the time I got closer and closer to day 100, it was like something else. But it was like the magic of the creative process is that you just show up. And you do your part. You don't say like, how is this going to be a stroke of genius? How is this going to turn into a career? You know, the minute we put that pressure, it can really stop us. And so you ask what brought me to this point. And part of me wants to say like a series of 100-day projects. And really exploring my own emotions from that place of, I just want to know myself better. And as an artist, I feel like I find language of my feelings through drawing it. So that's where I started. And that was about 8 years ago. So little by little, it's taking me on a journey.
It's great. Our community's loving the process over perfection. And like you said, it's something that I think a lot of us struggle with, you know, especially in this perfected world where you have all these filters and all this stuff. It can discourage us and make us afraid to pursue something and not have this mindset. Because if you're going to get to 100 days of something in a row, oftentimes you just got to go. And there may be some days where it's not up to par, to a standard.
Completely.
But that consistency, as you said, is what makes it work, and you're going to naturally get better and grow. And so I love that you mentioned that.
Thank you.
Now, Rukmini, your book is meant to help readers transform the way they interact with their emotions and the world. How is your book structured to help readers accomplish this goal?
It was a process, actually. I mean, this whole book journey is another story. But the way the book is set up right now is that there's 10 chapters. And the first half of the book is like building the foundation of your skills. And I really wanted this book to be for people of all skill types, but especially those who are intimidated by art, especially for those who are like, whoa, I don't do art. I don't do ART. I have a J-O-B, you know, those who are like, that's too childish. And I know a lot of people like that. And those who come to my workshops, I always ask, like, raise your hand if you haven't quite picked up a paintbrush since you were a child. There's always people there. And there's a lot of vulnerability to creating. So for me, it's important that the book is set up to really be a step-by-step approach. So those first four chapters, the first one is emotion as visual language. So line, shape, color, the basic building block of drawing. How does that How can you attribute emotions to a line, to a color? Mm. And then after that, it's form. Again, symbol, like thinking about eyes, nose, smile. How do you draw that symbol, stick figure, or body to really show emotion? The next chapter is metaphor, which is one of my favorite. Because think about a metaphor. When we talk about emotion like grief, how do you even explain it? But metaphor, that my grief is like an empty chair. My grief is a big black hole. The minute we put metaphor, now we can start to really embellish and make an abstract feeling concrete. Mm-hmm. And then the next one is emotions as data, which is great for those who really want, who are a little bit more, you know, data centric and they want to understand what is emotions. I tell them emotion is information, and that's what data is also. Mm-hmm. So setting up, you know, that foundation. And then the next half of the book is about your relationship to yourself, your relationship to others, and your relationship to your values. And then finally, acceptance. And it was really important for me to go on this whole journey because I feel the essence of it all is accepting our emotions. Because once you accept something, you can transform it. But if you don't accept it, you can't change it. You can't skip that step.
Yeah, that's great stuff. And thank you for all that. I used to draw a lot. I'm not the greatest, world's greatest drawer anymore. I used to think I was pretty good, but maybe I was never that good. But for me, I was good. But the point I want to make is my brothers and I, and Taj's here, maybe he can attest to this, but music has been an amazing outlet for us. We've had our hardships and struggles in life, even beyond the loss of our mother and our uncle. Mm-hmm. We've had, you know, setbacks and struggles and things. And music's always been that outlet, whether we're playing an instrument, whether we're writing a song or recording a song. And what I love is drawing to me is similar in a way, because sometimes writing, I feel like can be a little bit too
literal.
And I don't want to say rigid, because that's not the right word, but it feels like it's limited in a sense.
Yeah.
By something. Whereas music, you can go on a solo and go anywhere, and it's just very free. And I feel like drawing and painting is a similar thing. Would you agree with me that that's first A, and then B, what is it about drawing that you say can help you get through a situation more so than writing or talking about your, what would you say?
Yeah, drawing and painting, it's another tool in your toolbox, because writing and talking can be great for certain people, but maybe not for everyone. Like, we all work differently. Music, there's dance, there's so many different embodied creative practices. And so drawing is incredible because it gives image to something that you don't really have words for, and that it can be interpreted in so many ways. So if I'm talking to someone, they're feeling a lot of anger, they're feeling anxiety, and it's just really present for them. Immediately by asking, like, what color is that anger? It's like, okay, it's like a fiery red. If you were to draw with a pencil, how would you do it? And if it would take shapes, and suddenly it's really giving a form to something. And what it does is that it affirms your emotion. So if you're feeling a deep grief, if you're feeling something so heavy that you don't even know how the words could possibly encompass the feeling, right? Sometimes the words can feel like my words don't hold the intensity of this experience, but just this drawing, the simple color of black and little sparks of red and green, that says so much more than I could ever put into words. I think that is so important. And especially for those of us that are naturally a little more visual, it gives a language that we don't otherwise have.
Summer Violence says, there are no limits in painting. You can go wherever you want to go with it. I love painting.
It's true.
And I love your answer with me, because everybody's different. And I think that's one of the things, one of the big principles we've learned doing all these shows, is that not everyone grieves or goes through situations the same way. We're all different people, different things interact and impact us differently. And, you know, some people may love to paint, some people may discover painting, some people. Yeah. So I love that, you know, we try to provide as many different options and bring as much awareness to that, because I think oftentimes our world is, you know, we're always looking for a exact rule, you know, set of rules and exact process, but that's not always the best way to do it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So another question for you, who do you think could benefit? Who would you say would benefit the most from having this amazing Draw Your Feelings book? Who is this geared towards?
Oh, part of me wants to say anyone with emotions could really benefit from it, but it really ranges. I mean, I see this in classrooms. I see this with children. Although it's written for adults, I see definitely benefit in kids if they're working alongside with adults. I've gone into middle school classrooms and even done this with kids in person. And I mean, first of all, kids are so incredibly emotionally attuned. And I think we don't often give them that voice. And the things they're able to draw and say are incredible. Mm. And now for anyone going through any type of emotional experience that they want a different outlet, this can be beautiful. Anyone who just is curious about themselves and wants to learn about themselves, this is fantastic. And anyone who is afraid and resisting creative exploration, this is definitely for you. So if you see this and you're like, ooh, I don't know if I like that. Actually, that makes me feel a little constricted. I'm like, perfect. That means there's some wisdom in here for you. And this would be good for you.
Love it. Love it. Mm-hmm. Now, Draw Your Feelings is set to be released on October 10th, 2023, and it is available for pre-order now. Mm-hmm. What has been the most rewarding and the challenging elements of bringing Draw Your Feelings to fruition, bringing it to life? What are some of the most rewarding and challenging moments of the process?
Yeah, well, rewarding is seeing something that has been in my heart and so personal to me, really having a platform that I could only dream of, that really coming out as a book and becoming a product that I can share, and seeing so many people rally behind it, seeing it like resonate, that just the title, Draw Your Feelings, people's eyes light up. Like, I want to do that. You know, that's been really amazing. And going through that process of putting my work into a book has really challenged my own, my belief in myself. And that goes to the challenge, which the main challenge for this book, to be fully honest, is my mind. More than anything, more than sitting down, more than writing, more than anything, it is like the complete block that my mind will create. And, you know, it's not ironic that I had a lot of emotions coming up writing a book on emotions. I mean, it was kind of funny at times, kind of sad. And it also felt very authentic that, you know, for me to write this book, a lot of imposter syndrome immediately came up. And instead of pushing that down, I could be like, wow, okay, my mind is telling me, who are you to write a book like this? What do you know? Why are you so special that your voice should come up and be uplifted like this? And especially as a woman, as someone who's from a South Asian background, there's so many things that I generally am a background person, feel uncomfortable to put myself in the front, easier to really suppress my voice. And I feel that I've done that a lot in my life. And to really own my voice and believe in it is like such a process. And I think that's a process that's been developed for many years. And that's what I've been exploring in this book, that can I trust myself to create these exercises, to put something together and trust that it's valuable. So it was such a personal experience in owning my voice and seeing the resistance, the imposter syndrome, the mind, the anxiety, the fear of what will this really be of value, you know?
Yeah.
But I would say those two things.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a question on that, because now you sparked another question. But I want to show some of the an art piece that we have for the book. Draw Your Feelings. Again, the amazing author Rukmini Poddar. Did I say that right?
Yeah, Poddar.
She's like, anyways, the one and only Rukmini Poddar is with us. And I love everything I'm seeing. I love the watercolor aspect of it. It is available on Amazon.com, Barnes & Nobles, BAM, Books A Million, for those of you who aren't familiar with what BAM is, Bookshop. And then you can also go to Dear Rooksy.
DearRooksy.com.
You can see that on the visual, but if you're listening on the podcast, that is spelled D-E-A-R. RUKSI.com. So again, the book isn't out yet, but you can pre-order it today. The book officially comes out on October 10th, 2023. Now, I have another question, because you mentioned it, and I think this is something that a lot of us can connect with and relate to. This imposter syndrome, this idea that you may not be... in your mind, you start playing these, are asking these questions, why me? Am I qualified enough? How did you get through that? Was there someone, was there something, what, and I know you kind of mentioned that it took time, you know, something you're building into, but I feel like everyone, not everyone, but a lot of us go through that. And a lot of people never really go for what they want to do or achieve their goals because of this, this imposter syndrome or this, you know, this struggle that they have. Yeah. So what I'd love to know, what was a big breakthrough for you? And if you have any advice for anyone who's going through that themselves?
Yeah, imposter syndrome is so common. It has helped me recently knowing that almost everyone who's ever been successful in some area of their life has gone through it. So almost seeing it as like a rite of passage. There is a book called The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. That is quite an amazing book that I came across when I was doing this process. And he talks a lot about almost the creative process being a war. I mean, it's an intense metaphor, but he used to be like a retired army veteran, incredible bestseller. And he writes about the resistance. He almost like as if it's a villain. Like anytime you do anything worthy in your life, creative, there is this force called the resistance that will come for you. And so for me, there's a few things. One is acknowledging imposter syndrome and even having words for it, like, oh, this is imposter syndrome, where I feel that I am not qualified to do this, where my mind is very critical of myself. So one is accepting that. Two is definitely talking to others. But then I realized that it's not like a black and white thing. It's not either I am an imposter, I give up, I won't do anything, or like I am the best, like crush imposter syndrome. I can, you know, imposter syndrome tells us something, and it tells us that I'm doing something new. So of course I'm going to feel like I'm trying something out of my comfort zone. And so I feel that coming to emotions from a place of some sort of tenderness, some sort of compassion, is game changing. And it's hard. I don't go there first, but in time I can actually, you know, even just like put my hand to my chest and feel like, wow, what part of me is terrified of success? There is a part of me that is terrified. And what is the need of that part? You know, it needs to just be told that, you know, you're doing something hard and that's okay. And I think that sort of self-soothing is important. And coming back to Stephen Pressfield of The War of Art, he talks about the resistance, and he talks about this amazing concept. And just bear with me for a second. It kind of sounds a little esoteric. He talks about the ego structure, that we have an ego structure in us that is almost holding us down from our higher self, that we have a potential we're reaching forward to. So for me to finish this book, it means that I'm a different version of myself than when I started. I'm now an author, you know, that's amazing. And the part of me that's terrified of that wants to like stay low, that wants to stay small, is like into that self-sabotage mode. Like, don't finish this book, constantly do edits. Like that part of us that keeps procrastinating, it's because we're almost afraid of that light within us. And so for me, it was such a reframe of like, wow, I am almost attached to being in this imposter syndrome fear, because I'm scared to embrace that light, that once I finish this book, I am now an author. And an author, that's like a new evolution of being. And my lower self, or whatever you want to call it, that's terrified of that, is like, no. That's where self-sabotage comes, because we're afraid of being that higher version of ourselves. So it's a little out there, but that really helped to rethink this imposter syndrome, that it's really fear in the end of the day.
I agree completely. I think it's also fear of change and fear of success, and our fear of maybe additional responsibility and absolutely, all that stuff. Taj, you look like you wanted to jump in for something. I could see it.
No. Yes. I can say no. But I like that idea of the imposter syndrome aspect of it, because it is true. Anything worthwhile, you know, you have to take that leap of faith in that way. And that is where that imposter syndrome comes in, into the doubt and all that stuff, or which, not to go too far back, but I dealt with that in my career a lot in that way, coming from, because you mentioned, you know, I was very shy in school, in school in that way. And I was thrown on stage where there was a lot of people, and I had to pretend to be this person that's confident, and, you know, and all that stuff. And yes, I have been rehearsing with my brothers and all that stuff, but it's nothing, you know, close to getting thrown out there in that way. But it did. I appreciate the journey of it, and you do turn into someone else, and you aren't, it's like a loss of the old self in that way.
Yeah. Like,
better version, then it's worth it in that way.
Yeah. Oh, that's so beautifully said. The loss of the old version. And that's the part that when we're scared of change, we kind of hold on to our old patterns. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to break free of that. Yeah. Beautiful. And nice. One more phrase, yeah. If I could just say, Stephen Pressfield says, the greater the purpose, the greater the resistance. And that stuck with me, meaning that the greater your purpose is to do something, the much harder the resistance will be. And that's why some days when I was paralyzed by this book, it felt really daunting. And I was like, well, clearly this is my purpose because it's so freaking hard. So for anyone who's dealing with intense imposter syndrome, it's because, you know, you're in the right direction.
Nice. That's great.
Mm-hmm. So Rukmini, in addition to being a multi-talented artist, author, illustrator, all those amazing things, you're also an educator. You offer draw your feeling workshops, online classes, and even interactive workshops for corporate teams. Can you tell us about the workshops and the classes that you offer?
Yeah, definitely. This is one of my favorite things that I do is offer these workshops. And it really started during the pandemic. And during the pandemic, when I was creating my art and everyone was going through this rough time, suddenly I had this idea to throw some classes on Zoom and just see what would happen. And that's where my mind just opened, because when I got together with people, which first of all was so much more refreshing than just Instagram, it's really seeing people together. And we would test out these art exercises together, I could see how creative people were when they told me they weren't. And I could see people have breakthroughs. I could see people start to tear up and cry just by painting some simple shapes and colors and forms because they've never done it or they haven't done it in so long. So for me, that was a paradigm shift.
Yeah.
Of this process works. And it's not just me and my creative genius or anything. It's like being a facilitator for people to step into that was so beautiful. And so I just kept rolling. I mean, after that, I developed a 6-week course. I had friends who worked in different corporate offices that said, why don't you try doing this? I'd never had that idea in a million years that, you know, people in corporate offices and teams would be interested in this. And it was just shifting that this work is so universal. I mean, getting in touch with our emotions, whether you do pencil or paper or art or dance, it's all so important.
That's great. Now, who specifically would you say could benefit from attending one of your workshops or classes?
Someone is curious to try this out. Someone who's tried exploring their feelings in different ways and wants to give a different medium a shot. And again, of course, as people who are excited by doing things creatively, and then people who are terrified, and especially those who are terrified. I say this often, but those are some of my favorite students because they come with this, a lot of this feeling of like, I can't do it. And I always tell them, like, as a kid, did you like to draw? And like, yeah, I loved it. And it's like, so what happened in that process? And that is the juice. Like, yeah. What are those blocks? What are those self-limiting beliefs that I cannot express myself?
Love it. So where can our audience or someone who's watching or listening, where can they learn more and register?
Yes. So please check out my website, dearrooksy.com, or find me on Instagram. I'm there at rockinrooksy. And Facebook also, Dear Rooksy on Facebook. So I'm in a few different places, but it's all on my website. If you go there, I have 2 workshops this weekend, actually. So that's exciting. Oh, yeah, nice. I've been trying to promote it and busy with other things. But please, please, if any you're watching right now and would like to take a workshop for me, I have a drop-in workshop for just $20 for a 90-minute session Saturday. I'm doing one about the parts in ourselves. So whole exploration in our identity, what parts live within us. And Sunday, I'm doing a session called Journey to Acceptance. So that's a beautiful workshop I'm hosting all about what it takes in the different stages of acceptance. So please find me, follow, and message me. Would love to connect with you.
Love it, love it. So for those who are watching, you see there's another graphic on your screen. You can learn more about Rukmini's her workshops, her Draw Your Feeling workshops and online classes by going to dearrooksy.com. That is dearrooksy.com. 2 coming up this weekend that you can register for.
Join me. Would love to hang out with you this weekend.
I absolutely love it. And one thing I can say for anyone who does join, you're going to have some form of growth. already know that. Some form of growth that you're not predicting or are ready for simply by attending and doing your thing. So I'm very excited and happy that you are doing this. I think it's huge. We always talk about resources and the lack thereof. And when we hear about people like you doing things, it's really cool for me. Now, Rukmini, you've taught over 100 workshops and created over 600 pieces of original art. You are a firm believer in using art as a tool for emotional wellness, which is great, as are we. Why do you feel so passionately that art can be used effectively in this way?
Yeah, I've seen it work. Honestly, I've seen it work for myself for many years. I've seen the magic of creativity in the sense that it gets us into a different flow of consciousness, that we're able to express things not from a mind place, but from a heart place. And I think that's just, the world needs it more than ever.
What would you say to someone who, a naysayer, someone who's skeptical or doesn't feel they can partake, someone who may say, who may view themselves as artistically, you know, inclined or uninclined, I think that would be, and therefore like believes that they can't express themselves in this way. What would you say to that person?
Totally. If they feel like they don't want to, that's another discussion. But if they can't, then I would love to lovingly challenge that. Because again, think about every single young 5-year-old, 4-year-old, they all boldly declare they're an artist. They don't just say, oh, I draw sometimes. They like boldly declare. Like you said, TJ, earlier, you felt like you were the best as a kid. That is completely valid. Because in our own subjective experience, we are expressing what is the best. And so just look at that child for a second. Say like, wow, what's the resistance now? And if you're intrigued, if you're like, yeah, there's something there, then come explore it. Because again, the greater the resistance, the greater the purpose. So if you're really resisting this, I promise there's something on the other side.
That's fantastic. There's a comment from Summer Violence who says, we use art and music therapy at our hospital with the cancer patients. So that's amazing.
That's beautiful.
This is an interesting question. Georgina wants to know, what do you do with all those paintings? You need a gallery. Are you giving them away like to hospitals, or where do you keep them?
Oh, that's so nice. Various different places. Well, a lot in the last few years have been digital. So I have a lot of digital art there. And the first few years of doing this, I had tons of sketchbooks. So I didn't do it as full-blown paintings because this all happened through my 100-day project. I would keep a sketchbook. So in my old house back in Florida, I literally have about like 8 sketchbooks, a ton of them, and they're all filled up. And I would love to make them a gallery one day. So thank you for asking.
That is cool. Okay. I think we are at a point, Rukmini, we're almost towards the end, where we're going to get your final send off. But before we do that, one thing I would love to know is if you could tell everyone, our community, those who are passing by, those who are listening, those who just caught this, if you could tell them what's the best way to connect with you, Instagram, website, email, any of that information you want to give us, we'd love to share it with the community.
Yeah, definitely. So find my website. All of my information is there on dearrooksy.com. There's a contact form. Reach out, especially if you would want to do a workshop with me or you have connections and you would want to bring this to your school, your hospital, your place of work. I would love to be involved. Another thing is my book is coming out October 10th. And right now I have special pre-order incentives. So I can send a link out. It'll be on my website. But if you pre-order, there's a website that you can, you know, put your information and you're going to get a free PDF workbook, like a little freebie, and a Zoom link for October 22nd, where I'm doing like an exclusive workshop for anyone who's pre-ordered. So there's some cool stuff happening. If you just want to stay in touch with all of it, check me out on Instagram, Rockin' Rooksy, and I'm posting constantly all of my updates. There's a lot happening this month as I gear up for launch, and I want everyone here to be involved and connect with me as well.
Very cool. And do you want to share your email? Did you want
to? For sure. Yeah, okay. dearrooksy@gmail.com.
Okay.
Please, I
wanted to make sure and ask before I just put it out there.
I welcome all letters and emails and connection.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, cool. Taj, before I turn it over, I just want to make sure you don't have any questions before we give Rukmini the final say. There's some comments I want to highlight, but we'll do that after this part. Is there any questions you had for Rukmini before she does her final send off?
No questions, just the comment in terms of just, I love the idea behind this and in general. I do think that you put, whether it's a pencil or a paintbrush or something, you know, I think unless you're an artist, you've lost that connection from when you were younger in that way. And I think just as when we do our music therapy, it's the expression that they do through art in that way, in terms of we see these kids that transform because they can't use the words, but they'll put it into music in that way. And I know it's the same thing with art in that way. You can get so many expressions, or even you can find out so much about yourself through art in that way. So I commend you, and I'm excited about your book.
Oh, thank you so much, Taj. I'm awesome. Grateful to hear that. And I fully believe in this as well.
Yeah, you should.
All right, Rukmini, it's that time where we pass the mic over to you for a minute, up to a minute, 2 minutes, whatever time you want. We are just asking you, as we do all of our guests, to share something with our community. It could be on topic. It could be off topic. It could be about your favorite TV show to watch, and a new album you got recently that you're jamming to. Anything you want to share with our community, now is the time.
This is always a little bit open-ended, and let's see what's coming up. What's coming up in my heart? Well, first of all, thank you to everyone who's tuning in. This has been so beautiful to meet and talk with you both. And you know, I think what we spoke about earlier with imposter syndrome really hits back to the heart, and it's so relevant. And there's a reason I like to bring that up. And when I talk about my process of writing my book and the doubts and emotions, it's really important to me to be transparent in my process. I think when we see successful people and people doing things we want, we sort of like put it on a pedestal, almost to make it like out of reach for ourselves. Like, I could never write a book. I can never do something that amazing. And I really just want to say, like, yes, you can. Like, if I can do it, then definitely you can. And it's, I really want to make that. And I talk about this also in my bio, and I say what's most personal is most universal. So that is like a lesson I got when I was doing my 100-day projects, because it hit so deep. And I, at the time, I was sharing these obscure emotions that were very, very specific emotions of how I was feeling. But I was constantly getting replies from people saying things like, I have always felt that way. Like, how did you know? And I just realized that what is most personal is most universal. And so these doubts, the self-imposter syndrome, all these confusions, like, it's so universal. And so I guess with my work and what I feel inspired to share right now is that if you're feeling something, if you're feeling any emotion at all, if you're feeling doubts, if you're feeling stuck, know that it's extremely universal, and that there is connection in all of us, that we're going through it together, and we can get through it together. So I just wanted to share that.
Nice. Well said. I love it. I love it. I want to now, before we sign off, I want to go through some comments that I've been saving through the show. We'll start with Lana's Little Things. It says, colors and music and all art really soothe our spirit. So thank you so much for making an interactive book. Sarah says, she has a beautiful smile.
Thank you, Sarah.
I love that. Summer Violence says, I need to get the book. Sounds right up my alley.
Please get it.
Woo. Yes. Carrie says, you're such a lovely person, Minnie. Thank you for a wonderful show. Camille, I love this. So social media is amazing. You just have to block out the negative. Then it becomes a really helpful and great tool for what the name says, to be social and to learn. Well said. Balmy says, painting and drawing helped me when I lost granddad, even though I'm not very good at either. And then Carrie also says, reading my poems on Reels has been huge for me.
Amazing. Congrats, Carrie, for doing that.
That is great. And Brenda says, poetry and expressing my emotion has helped me through rough periods, also doing graphics. And then, since we started with Lana's Little Things, we'll also end, because she had another great comment. She said, I love the fact that you said being an author is an evolution of ourselves as a person, our higher self. Thank you for the inspiration to keep going. So it's beautiful.
Thank you, Lana.
So those are some great comments. There's a couple more, actually. Ben wants to remind everyone to hit the like button if you're on Facebook and YouTube. And then Sarah wants to say, don't forget to subscribe. Mm-hmm. So those are two more important little comments. But Rukmini, on behalf of my brother Taj and our entire foundation and the entire community who is watching live or watching it later or listening later, we all just want to thank you for blessing us today and sharing your journey and your insights and what you are up to. Again, everyone out there, you can go to dearruksi.com. Mm-hmm. That is dearruksi.com. You can pre-order her book, Draw Your Feelings, which is available on Amazon, Books A Million, BarnesandNobleBookshop.org. Again, if you pre-order, you get access to, one more time?
A freebie workbook and an exclusive Zoom workshop. So those details are on my Instagram, and I'm going to post it on my website because I realize it's not there. So follow my Instagram and you'll see a post about that.
Instagram is at @RockinRuksi. And that is it, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to sign off. But again, Rukmini, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
You are more than welcome. And for everyone else out there, we will be back next Wednesday at 1 p.m. With a new show. And we just want to thank you all for being with us. Taj, anything else before I close?
No.
That's it. All right. Adios, everyone. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.